Hello, this is the Fun Kids Bookworms podcast, where you get to find out about the best books from the people who actually write them. My name is Bex, and this week you're going to hear David Tennant reading a book by Terry Pratchett. We're going to be chatting to Sean off of The Breakfast Show and his pal Luke about their brand new book. Plus, I'll be recapping some of the amazing releases coming out in the book world this month. But first, I did mention we were going to be chatting to Sean and his pal Luke. Well, they've written a brand new book called Jamie McFlair versus the Boy Band Generator. And I got to have a very, very fun chat with them recently. Here's what happened. All right, I am joined by, I think it's fair to say, not just Fun Kids friends of the show, but actual friends of mine and also friends of Fun Kids. It is Sean Thorne and Luke Franks. Hey, guys.
Yay.
Hello.
Thanks for having us, Bex.
This is so surreal being on this side of the interview. I don't know if you agree with this, Luke, but as people who usually, usually do the interviews, it is mad being the ones being interviewed.
I've got no questions to ask, which is nice.
I love it because I'm in control. I can do whatever I want with this interview. I can bend it to my will. We should say, of course, you are in real life and also in this. You are presenters, but you've also written a book. Well done.
Yay! It's now finished. It's out.
This is massive. It is most certainly out. I have it next to me right now. First of all, boys, got to say, it is hefty. Like, it's a I get sent a lot of books to Fun Kids. This is the first one where I think the postman groaned as he picked it up.
That is one of my friend's reviews. The only thing he said when he got it, because he obviously hadn't read it yet, was it's weightier than I thought it'd be. I thought, what does that mean? Can't use that on the reviews anywhere. But yeah, it's sturdy, isn't it? And it's got red pages.
It's a right little chunkster, I would describe it.
Yeah. It is. You used the word chunkster in the book. I know, because I have finished the book and I absolutely loved it.
I got a little test for you there, Bex. See if you could recognise that line.
Oh, flying colours.
Look, Sean and Luke, you know I read every book that's sent my way, mostly to befuddle the authors who I interview. And you are no different, to be honest. Absolutely going to do that for you. So the book is called Jamie McFlair versus the Boy Band Generator. It is bright yellow with red around the sides. It looks amazing. Sean, was it as fun to write as I think it was?
Like, absolutely, definitely, hands down, one of the most fun things I think I've ever done. Don't want to immediately speak for Luke, but it was so much fun to just sit and come up with the most ridiculous nonsense ideas that we could possibly think of and try and get away with squeezing them into a book.
Yeah, 100%. And I agree with that. And it's nice having someone not tell you that, you know, like, encourage you to write sillier things, because usually a grown-up is saying, stop being so silly. But in this case, it was like, if anything, be more silly. So, yeah, we were in our element. It was fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, maybe this henchman needs lobster claws and an apron and a name like Flobster.
I really enjoyed, because obviously I know you two, I really loved the fact that I could read it and I knew immediately it was from you. It's the sense of humour you have, which is just genuinely really funny. And, like, you know your stuff about it as well. It must have been interesting working together. Like, did you distract each other a lot, or did you actually get down to it when you had to work together?
I think we have the same brain. So what happens is we get really excited with all the stupid ideas really early on, write all of them down. None of it makes any sense or in any sort of order or possibly even really a story, and then slowly it develops, and then it gets to a point where there's a deadline and then we really panic and then we both get really, really stressed, and then we just do it all in a few weeks. It's same how schoolwork went, basically, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a little bit like being at university, but loads more fun and doing things that we actually enjoyed. And the panic monster would arise as soon as that deadline would loom, and it would scare all the characters into doing things that made a story, which was great for us.
It sounds like we have very similar working habits, because I am exactly the same. It's like, oh, a deadline is here. Oh, I probably should do this then. That makes sense. Now, the book is all about Jamie McFlair, who loves the newest and bestest boy band in the world. And she also has a bit of a nemesis, an interesting baddie who I almost loved reading about as much as Jamie, because you've made him just so ridiculous. Luke, can you tell us a little bit about Jamie's life?
Yeah, so Jamie is she lives with her grandma in her mum's house, and she shares a room with her grandma, who also has a pig called Seamus in the room. So she kind of is not having a lovely time. Like, if you share your room with your brother or sister, it's kind of fine, it's a bit annoying. If you share it with your grandma and smelly pig, it's next level annoying. But basically, because her uncle, who's this evil music mogul guy. He's called Barry Big Time. He basically screwed over them, so they've all forced to live together. So yeah, Jamie's kind of she loves boy bands and she loves music, and she's got a really good group of friends, but she's also got this horrible uncle who she kind of secretly hates quite a lot, and he sort of caused her quite a few problems.
Oh, good synopsis there. That was the perfect way to hook everybody in. Everybody listening right now will be like, where can I get this book from? Goodness, quick.
If you like pigs.
So Sean, in the book as well, you've got a great group of friends. Was it fun to write the girls? Because they seem like such a good, like, a bunch of characters to create.
Yeah, because we kind of wanted them to all be very different and individual to make them extra fun to write. So there's Daisy, who's like the cool, fashionable friend. There's Mel, who is slightly more timid and, let's say, unique. She has her own way of doing things, and that's absolutely fine. And I think one of my favorite characters, probably in the whole book, is Jenna's, who is just very loud, very boisterous, has a voice that's probably too loud for inside voices, and just doesn't, she just says exactly what she wants when she wants, and she doesn't really care, and it's, but in a lovely way.
It's so great. You also kind of delve into the world of, well, obviously boy bands, but also Instagram and YouTube and social media. Was that something you had to research, or did you just know immediately what you're going to do with it and how you're going to take the mickey?
Yeah, I think we knew already, because I think everyone, you know, it's sort of good, isn't it? Because it's kind of fun, and you know, you can end up meeting people, and there's cool stuff about Instagram and that. But then there's that annoying side of, oh, you feel like you should be posting, and oh, you have to like look good and all of that stuff. So yeah, the girls aren't, they love the boy bands, and they love kind of following what they're doing. But Jenna's especially doesn't really like posting her own stuff. She's not really into it. So we've like, that's quite realistic of what we felt a little bit as well. You know, it was a bit of us, some of that.
And we wanted to kind of recreate the realism and also highlight the complete nonsense and absurdity that sort of surrounds social media, in that how it can kind of feel like it's a really massive deal, but also, you know, it really isn't. And I think that's important for people to learn young, because even though that some people might not be old enough to go on social media, I think you, at some point, you will be 13 and be able to go on social media. And I think it's important to go into that scenario learning that it's not actually complete nonsense. Learning that it's complete nonsense and it's not actually the be all and end all.
Yeah, not everything's real on it, and that you don't have to feel like you have to be doing it all the time, you know.
Yeah, it's a really interesting way of looking at it. And also, to be honest, like, so few kids books actually do tackle social media, because I think they're just scared of talking about it. But you've done it and made it fun, and like, and also, like, you know what you're talking about, so it just sounds realistic, and yeah, it's great.
Yeah, good. Thanks, Bex. Yeah, like, we do a lot of it, and not, you know, I like it, and it's been really good, and a part of it is, you know, our job and stuff. But yeah, it's good, I think, learning that, you know, your friends, your true friends, are the ones in real life, and Instagram can be fun, but it's not everything, you know?
It is funny. I don't know whether this will make the interview, but I've read so many books where they just seem to conveniently forget that, like, telephones exist, because it doesn't help the plot.
they're crucial to a lot of things.
Yeah.
We did. There were little bits in there where we're like, oh, wouldn't they just work that out on Instagram? Wouldn't they just see that on TikTok? Like,
yeah.
There was a lot of that. But I think in the end, I think if you play by the rules of it, I think it all kind of sits quite nicely together.
It really does. You also, I think you hide in some jokes for grown-ups as well.
Absolutely.
one of my favourites that I picked up on was the big bus that had been owned by Gerald, was it Hallowed?
Gerald Horwell.
Horwell, which I really enjoyed. Obviously, Jerry Halliwell. Any other little things in there that you enjoyed writing that people might not pick up on immediately?
I hid quite a few Bristol City Easter eggs in the book.
Did you?
In some of them were so well hidden, even my dad didn't spot one of them. But I'll give you one for free. The football coach at the school is called Miss Lee Johnson, and the Bristol City coach at the time of writing was called Lee Johnson. So I snuck that in. But there's a few other really tiny ones in there. I was trying to think of other little funny ones that we put in, Luke. I'm sure that there were loads.
There were, yeah. I'm trying to rack my brains for the little ones. There's some like there's a bit about telly, and there's the Hun show, which is a bit like The One Show, if you've ever watched The One Show. So there's a few things like that which adults might also enjoy.
I enjoyed the description of that as something like, it's for bored grown-ups or something. And I was like, yeah, that's pretty much spot on. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, absolutely with you on that.
And there was one thing where we made reference to the weird programme where you hear about all the football, but you don't see any of the football, which was basically Sky Sports News and Gillette Soccer Saturday.
Yeah, I loved reading it for all these little kind of things. And I was like, I know exactly what they're thinking about. And it's just nice to, it means it's a book that you can reread, basically, because you can find extra things here and there.
It's layered. It's like dodgeball.
It's like a little onion. It's many layered. You've also, let's face it, packed it with nonsense. You've got a Flobster and you've got just so many mad, crazy characters. Was there something that you thought, no, we can't even do this. This is too far. Or did you just chuck in every possible? Really?
Yeah, loads of it. Do you want to know, here's the thing that we sent our editor, bearing in mind that we didn't have, they hadn't given us the like contract for the book yet. And we had to finish the first draft.
This is a book club exclusive, people. It's a book club exclusive.
And basically we had quite a lot to do, but we'd also booked a little weekend away with our significant others at the time. And we were like, yeah, it'll be fine. We'll just finish it on the first night when we go away with our girlfriends. We'll just sort of finish off the book. And then we got there and then we were like, oh no, we've got loads to do. We've got to write, you know, whole end of the story. So basically our girlfriend sat there whilst we like really stressed about panicking over the book. And Sean, do you want to tag in and tell what the initial ending to the book
so
was?
The original ending to Jamie McFlair versus the Boy Band Generator, which we thought was suitable for publication, was that at the end of the book, at a music festival, Grandma would turn into a pig monster, eat the evil boy band, and then essentially poo them out as normal boys.
But like we were like, yeah, that's it. It was like 4 a.m. We were like, no, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I think that's fine. I'd love to find what that original ending was and just read through it and just be like, what on earth were we thinking? It was just absolutely outrageous. I can't believe that they even agreed to give us a book after that. But yeah, Grandma turns into a pig monster. There's like a big Godzilla versus King Kong style fight with a boy band monster, where she eats them and then poos them out as normal boys. The end.
I love that that's where your minds went to. You're like, this is the only logical conclusion of this whole story.
Could you imagine where else they
grown
went?
Human brains were agreed that that was a good idea.
Yeah, it wasn't just one of you having that idea. It was both of you like, yeah, absolutely smashed it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
We're grown ups.
Handshake. Well, it's debatable, isn't it? How would you describe the journey that Jamie goes? And I think that's a good way to help people kind of understand a little bit more about what's happening here.
Good question. So yeah, I mean, she's like, basically the girls love this internet boy band. They're like big fans of this boy band. And then they get invited onto a telly show, a bit like Britain's Got Talent, but not. And that should be a good thing, except Jamie's evil uncle runs the talent show and tries to basically ruin them and steal their talents to make his own boy band. It's like what goes on. So she's like big fans of them. And then her friends have to really pull together to sort of try and stop Barry taking over the world. That's an okay description, Sean.
Yeah. So that's book one. And essentially through that journey, Jamie gains a little bit of extra notoriety and fame. Is it for good reasons or bad reasons? I'm not going to tell you, because you have to read the book to find out. And then into the second book, you find out a little bit more about what that new kind of notoriety does for the girls and how that affects their relationship, and then what crazy adventures they then go on to enjoy or not enjoy.
I love it. I love this so much. Now, as you know, I've read the book. I really enjoyed it. I genuinely thought it was funny. And I have created, normally for authors, you know, I do my author quiz, my patented tried and tested quiz. But I've written a special quiz for you guys. I wondered whether you'd want to do it.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm all right, thanks, Bex.
Just me then.
Cheers. Make sure you follow the book club. Bye.
Interview muted and terminated immediately. Well, what I've done is, so you've got three big boy bands in your book. You've got BNA, who are the ones that Jamie loves. They're the coolest ones. You've got the Fenton Dogs, who are a bit average, and they're all right, but they're a bit rubbish, right? And you've got For the Win, who are the new boy band who come along, who are a bit flashy.
Correct. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. I've made a little quiz. It's a 5-question quiz. I won't lie to you. I'm quite proud of this. To figure out which boy band you would belong in.
Oh, nice. Up for this.
Yeah, okay. So obviously I need you to answer separately for this, because you may well end up in separate boy bands. That's the thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But well, maybe one of you would be cooler than the other. We'll find out now. So, first up, in my big boy band quiz, you're given the choice of an unlimited Nando's, unlimited Greggs, or unlimited pret a manger? Which one do you go for?
Unlimited Grace, unlimited Nando's. I think it's probably Nando's all the way, isn't it? Just mainly for the condiments, the selection of sauces is better than the other two. So that would be my choice.
I'm also going to go Nando's because I want to play this quiz honestly. I was thinking maybe go for a different answer just for the enjoyment and interest of the podcast. But no, I want to know what boy band I'm in. So
yeah,
I'm
playing to
Nando's.
Win. That's fine. Absolutely fine. I appreciate the honesty. Number two, what is the most important thing that a boy band can have? Is it A, lots of social media followers? Is it B, natural charm? Or is it C, good voices?
Oh, it's tough. I'll go first with this one. I'm going to say natural charm because I think the followers will follow with the charm. And I think the voice less important.
It's how you live your life, Sean. Excellent stuff. Luke, how about you?
Yeah, that is a good answer, isn't it? I think I'm going to go for the voices, but only because at least like 50% of the boy band need to have good voices. I think you can get away with like one or maybe even two that aren't really very good at singing and just do the backing lines. But at least two of them have to be quite good. So voices, I'll go for.
That's fair enough. Number three, if you had to be spliced with any animal, spliced. Hey, look, somebody read the dictionary today and it was me. If you had to be spliced with any animal, which one would it be? Would it be A, a dog, B, a sheep, or C, a pony? This is how I spend my spare time.
That is excellent question. Dog, sheep, or pony?
Yeah.
Wow. I think dog for me, just because I think I'm probably about 30% dog already and just how I generally behave and sort of exist. So probably dog, and you get to live indoors and somebody feeds you and you just sort of don't really have to do loads. So I'll go dog if that's right.
Yeah, living the dream. Yeah, Sean, how about you?
I'm going to be a majestic Sean pony.
A Sean pony. Lovely stuff.
Enjoying straw, enjoying my big paddock, just having a lovely time.
Good. Okay.
Maybe I'm a show jumper. Maybe I'm going too far with this.
I can see you with a show jumper with your mane flapping in the wind. All right. Number four. What is the best? Sorry. Also, by the way, I will show you my workings later on because there is a reason I've done all these questions. What's the best name for a lead singer? Is it A, Lee, B, Harry, or C, Justin?
Yeah, from recent events, it's probably Harry, isn't it? But I'm just going to go, to mix it up, I'll go Justin, because there hasn't been a new one, so probably a boy band is in the making with someone called Justin in it, and maybe they're the next big thing.
Okay, that's very kind of you to, very magnanimous to give the answer. Finally, the last one. You have your first album coming out. Where is the launch party? Is it A, in a private members club for your very special VIP guests? Is it B, next to the YouTube HQ so you can live stream it? Or is it C, in a theme park with all of your friends and fans?
Well, I think, sadly, YouTube HQ has been recently demolished, I think.
RIP YouTube.
Yeah, or at least the space bit of it.
Luke's taking this quiz very seriously. Yeah. It's relentlessly in
obviously
the real
it's related
world.
To real life, Sean. So
checking Google Maps.
Yeah. as I say to Sean Pony. So probably a theme park, specifically Nemesis Inferno at the front, is worth queuing a little bit longer.
Right, okay, good to know. Sean, how about you?
I'm also going to go for the theme park as well, I think. I think just, again, living relentlessly in the real world, I think the financial and the amount of people benefits that you could have at this event would probably lend better to a theme park. So I'm going to go for that.
A really business-led answer that I didn't expect from you.
From Sean Pony. I'm nodding, sagely.
Sorry, I didn't realise I was on The Apprentice, but okay. Well, you have successfully completed my Which Boy Band Are You quiz. Would you like to know the answer? I assume you would. It'd be weird if you didn't, to be honest.
No, I'm all right, Bex. Well, see you later. Right. Bye.
I have had a really good time just doing the quiz, so if there wasn't an answer, I'd still be happy, but if there isn't...
I'm really keen to hear the answer. I really enjoyed the quiz.
Well, thank you. I mean, you have to say that, but thanks. I can officially reveal in my highly scientifically proven and researched quiz, and I'm only half joking, you both belong in the same band.
Oh, yay!
So you're both together, but are you in BNA, Fenton Dogs, or For the Win? Well, I can tell you exclusively, of course, you are both in BNA!
Oh, yay! Yes. Come on.
For people who read the book, they will find out it's the coolest band to be in. Let's face it, it's the best one, right?
It's the best one.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
they're the most talented ones for sure.
Absolutely, need nail it. Now, I should also point out, boys, that because I am queen of books at Fun Kids, self-appointed, I have decided that this book is my book of the month. So, congratulations!
Oh, yay! Thank you, Bex.
Well, ooh. Nice of you, Bex. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
It goes into our big end of the year competition where the 12 books fight it out in a final duel to the death.
Snap!
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be a big deal. You're going to be against Maz Evans, I think, from last month. And also, Roman Kemp as well in Vic Hope. So,
bring it on.
Tough competition. So, guys, we should say the book is out now. We can grab it, as Sean handily said earlier, from pretty much anywhere right now. Is that right?
I mean, yeah. It's in Sainsbury's supermarkets. It's in Smith's. It's
Asda
in
also.
Waterstones. Asda. A friend found it in Foyles, which was great. And there'll probably be some nice, lovely independent bookshops that will also do it.
There's also one on eBay I found. So someone's obviously read it and they're trying to plug it as well.
That's also great.
That's probably go to any of those.
Wow. So many opportunities to get it. It's almost rude not to. Well, yeah, Jamie McFlair versus the Boy Band Generator is out now. Sean and Luke, thank you so much for chatting to me all about it.
Thank you very much, Bex. That was really fun.
How much fun was that? I love Sean and Luke so much. Their book is just hilarious, to be honest. It's much like them. Very funny, very silly, and very awesome. Now, speaking of awesome things, I thought you might quite like this. This is really special. We don't get stuff like this very often. It's David Tennant, aka Doctor Who, doing a very special reading of The Carpet People by legendary author Terry Pratchett.
With them went the spell. Cries went up and, ashamed of their fear, the hunters surged forward. "Stop!" shouted Pismire. "Idiots, you'll chase out into the dark after that with your bone spears. That was a black snarg. Not like the brown ones you get around here. You know the stories. They're from the furthest corners. From the unswept regions." From the north, from the white cliff of the wood wall itself, came again the cry of a snarg. This time it did not die away, but stopped abruptly. Pismire stared north for a second, then turned to Glurk and Snibril. "You have been found," he said. "That was what brought this horse here. Fear of the snargs. And fear of the snargs is nothing to be ashamed of. Fear of snargs like that is common sense. Now they have discovered the village, you can't stay. They'll come every night until one night you won't fight back hard enough. Leave tomorrow. Even that might be too late." "We can't just..." Glurk began. "You can. You must. Frey is back. And all the things that come after. Do you understand?" "No," said Glurk. "Then trust me," said Pismire. "And hope that you never do have to understand. Have you ever known me be wrong?" Glurk considered. "Well... there was that time when you said..." "About important things." "No, I suppose not." Glurk looked worried. "But we've never been frightened of snargs. We can deal with snargs. What's special about these?" "The things that ride on them," said Pismire. "There was another pair of eyes," said Glurk uncertainly. "Worse than snargs," said Pismire. "Got much worse weapons than teeth and claws. They've got brains."
Now, I did say I would tell you about some of the amazing books that are coming out at the moment, and there are, as ever, a bunch of brilliant books for you to check out. We've got The Year That We Muddled Through. That is a brand new book by Lauren Fenimore, all about, well, the tricky time that we've had recently. Factopia is coming out. That's by Katie Hall. It's the trail of 400 amazing facts for you to follow, and I believe Kate is going to be on the Fun Kids Science Weekly podcast in the next week or so, so keep an ear out for that. There's also a book called Wild, which has particularly caught my eye. It's by Annette Dimitru and Dawn White, and the book is all about two brothers. They're two wolves, and they're trying to learn they don't always have to follow the pack. They're trying to remember it's okay to be themselves and to not do what everybody else thinks they should do. So if that sounds like it's something interesting to you, check it out in the bookshop. It's called Wild and it looks absolutely brilliant. The story of two wolf brothers. What could be better? Another brilliant book that is coming out at the moment is by Patience Agbabi. Now, I spoke to her recently about her brand new book, The Time Thief, And this is what happened when she did my very special and very scientific author quiz. Whichever one you prefer. So here we go. Books or Kindles?
Books.
Everyone says it. Heroes or villains?
Villains.
Would you rather time travel to the past or to the future?
Future.
Any year in particular? Any area?
Probably 2050, just because that's the year everybody's talking about in terms of climate change and so on. So let's see what we, you know, whether what we do has actually made an impact on 2050.
Very good answer. Film adaptation or TV adaptation?
Film.
Writing or reading?
Reading. Has to be reading.
Now, this one is just for you. Poetry or books?
Poetry. That was so difficult. You can tell I struggled. I struggled with that one.
We should say you are also a very, very famous poet as well when you're not writing children's books. So I just thought I'd sneak that one in there. Sorry to test you, patience.
No, that's it's not really a test, is it? It's a test.
It's not a test. It's more to get a feel for you, I guess. Hogwarts or Narnia?
Hogwarts.
Do you use a laptop or do you write by hand?
Laptop.
Do you write 9 to 5 or do you write when you fancy?
9 to 1. Ooh. Nobody writes 9 to 5. You drop down dead if you wrote 9 to 5.
I like the hours of 9 to 1. I might start keeping them. Big Ben or MC Squared?
Oh, that's a terrible. Oh God, I feel. Big Ben has to be Big Ben.
All right, good. Paddington Bear or Winnie the Pooh?
Paddington Bear.
And finally, the big one: salt and vinegar or cheese and onion?
Salt and vinegar.
Yes.
I'm allergic to cheese, so that was easy.
That was the easiest one so far.
That was easiest one, yeah.
Well, to be honest, salt and vinegar is my favourite as well, so I always prefer it. You could say anything you want for the other questions. It's just the biggest question that I'm there for.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Patience, we should say thank you so much for chatting to us. The book has the most brilliant bright cover. You cannot miss it. And it's out in May. Is that right?
Yes, it's out May the 6th, which is quite soon. Looking forward to it.
It's very soon indeed. Patience, thank you so much for chatting to us. The Time Thief is out very soon in all bookshops, websites, anywhere you get your books. Go and check it out. Thank you so much to Patience. Now, if you read her books, you will meet Elle. She's the star of The Time Thief, and she has the gift. Now, if you're born on the 29th of February, then you are a Leapling. They're very rare, but rarer still are Leaplings with the gift like Elle. That's the ability to leap through time. You can join Elle as she leaps back in time to catch a thief, help her friend, and save our future as well. The Time Thief is the thrilling time-travelling adventure from Patience Agbabi, and it's available online and in all good bookshops too. You can head over to funkidslive.com to find out how to get your copy. And that's pretty much all the time I've got in today's Bookworms podcast. Big thank you to Sean and Luke, to David Tennant, and to Patience Agbabi for chatting to me. Hopefully you will join me again very soon for the next Bookworms podcast. Bye!